Gypsy Dave passes through the Great Wall of China with Gypsy Dave, Baby Pee-wee, Dan, Greek Smith, a cast of millions of Chinese, and the evil Romantu. Baby Pee-wee, Gypsy Dave, and Dan were playing Scrabble in Gypsy Dave's basement. And Dan made the word W-A-L-L. What's that spell? Said Gypsy Dave. Wall, said Dan. Aha, said Gypsy Dave. I can use that A and spell great. G-R-E-A from wall, T. Great wall, said Baby Pee-wee. You know, that, there, in China there's a great wall. I know, said Gypsy Dave. The Great Wall of China, said Dan. And
people walk on it.
People do walk on it, said
Dan.
No, it's a wall, but on top of it,
it's kind of like a bridge.
On top of it, there was a pathway wide enough for a cart and horses to go because it was a military embankment, a military stronghold that the Chinese used to hold off the enemies. Those enemies were mostly the barbarians from the north, the Mongols, the Huns, the Xiongnu, the Manchus. And Gypsy Dave said, hey, I heard about a guy who could walk through the Great Wall. Ah, said Baby Pee-wee, that's not possible. You're thinking of one of those illusionists like David Copperfield. No, said Gypsy Dave, he told me how he did it. How did he do it, said Dan. Well, I'm not going to tell you. Right, said Baby Pee-wee, you don't know how to go through a wall. Why, if you think you know how to go through a wall, why don't you go through this wall right here? No, said Gypsy Dave, it's got to be a great wall or it's no big deal. Well, all right, let's go over there then, said Baby Pee-wee. Well, how'd we get there, said Gypsy Dave. Greek Smith, said Dan. That's right, Greek Smith could take us over in no time. Is he in town? Yeah, said Dan.
Are you?
He's back up on top of the, he's back up on top of the, cedar closet. Okay, I'll go get him. I'll call him, said Baby Pee-wee. So they dialed up Greek Smith. His number was 752-7332.
Oh!
Yeah, well, he lives almost next to you. In fact, he lives upstairs when he's there. You can't always see him because his dirigible, his balloon, is invisible. Well, they called Greek Smith, and soon that dirigible was over their house. And he dropped down a ladder and he said, come on up, boys. So they clambered up the ladder and into the gondola, which was very accommodating, very comfortable, good for an ocean voyage. And they settled back to play Monopoly while they went over. Well, they were doing great. Oh, they ran into a little storm over the Pacific and they were tossed about a bit. But for the most part, it was calm. And they just ate ice cream from the little freezer that he had up there. And actually, it was so cold up where they were that the freezer was just sort of a little box, and it opened to the outside. You see, when you get up that high, it's not all that warm. So you can put stuff in there, have a little box, just bring the cold air in, and have your ice cream and stuff and so on. And pretty soon they were over the Great Wall. Well, a big crowd of people had gathered to see the dirigible. They hadn't seen one in China before. And Baby Pee-wee, Gypsy Dave, Dan, and Greek Smith climbed down the ladder and they moored the dirigible to the top of one of the light towers on the Great Wall. Now, the Great Wall was set up to have towers every mile or so. And the towers were places where they would light fires for signals to let them know if the enemy was coming or if all was clear in the middle of the night. Baby Pee-wee and Gypsy Dave and Dan and Greek Smith walked on the wall for a way. Oh, and it was an awesome sight. When you're up there on the wall, it's cold even in the summertime. And the hillsides are barren except for a few plants. And maybe you hear a bird cry.
Oh! Oh!
And it's a lonesome, mournful place. It's celebrated in Chinese poetry as the poets were sent to the garrisons on the north to protect the wall, to protect the city. Always they wrote about how mournful and cold and how far from home it was. Well, Gypsy Dave said, now, boys, it's time to see the great show. What's the great show again? Said the tour guide who was overhearing what they were saying. The great show, Gypsy Dave said, is I'm going to walk through the Great Wall. Hi-yah, said the tour guide. It was a few years ago, a magician, he came, he walked through the wall, his name, David Copperfield. David Copperfield is nothing, you're going to forget all about him after you see me walk through the wall, said Gypsy Dave. By the way, I don't suppose you could take up a little collection for this, do you? Well, the guy took off his hat and he passed it around in the crowd. Gypsy Dave figured as with millions of Chinese, if each one only gave him a penny, he'd have lots of money, right? Why, he'd have thousands of dollars. And so as the collection was going on, Gypsy Dave said, and now I'll prepare for the great feat. Little does go a long way when you've got a million people. So the people all lined up all around. They were on top of the wall, inside the wall, in the towers, and so forth. And just then, Baby Pee-wee noticed that off to the east there was sort of an evil, dark glow in the sky. Actually, the opposite of a glow, just a dark spot. And it was getting bigger. And then it was sort of like a huge bird was hovering overhead. It blocked the sun for a moment as it passed, and the people looked up and gasped. But they knew that that great bird-like object was the back glider of Fu Manchu. Fu Manchu, said Baby Pee-wee, what are you doing here? Ah, so, my little one, he said. So we meet again for another battle. But what are you doing here, he said, said Baby Pee-wee. I have heard the news that your friend, what is his name, Dave, Gypsy Dave, said Baby Pee-wee. Yes, Gypsy Dave plans to create an illusion of walking through the Great Wall. You know he can't do it, said Baby Pee-wee. He's just trying to make a quick buck. No, he will do it, said Fu Manchu, and he reached down, pointed towards Gypsy Dave with his hand, and his power of his yin chi went out of him, and Gypsy Dave, in an instant, became like a zombie. And his hands stretched forward, and he started walking toward the wall. Be careful, Gypsy Dave, you're going to run right into the wall. But as he got to the wall, he sort of dissolved into the wall, and the people gasped. And Fu Manchu let out an evil laugh. Ha, 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 he said. Your friend has gone into the wall, but he will never come out, and this will teach you to trifle with me and with the gullibility of the Chinese people, said Fu Manchu, who flew away as if on a cloud. Blocked the sun one more time as he passed between the sun and the people gasped again, and off he laughing evilly. Great Scott, said Baby Pee-wee, that's a solid wall and Gypsy Dave's in there. What did he do, said Dan. Oh, it's the oldest trick in the book. He caused his chi to dissemble, and it looked like Gypsy Dave was still together in one piece, but really he was just a cloud of pieces of Gypsy Dave hanging together only as tenuously as a cloud in the sky. Any puff of wind would have blown him apart. Instead, he made him walk through into the wall, where his chi mingled with the wall of the chi, with the chi of the wall. Oh no, said Dan. Why, it's just like those workers who were buried in the wall. What workers, said Grief Smith. Oh, the first emperor of Qin, the great Qin Shi Huangdi. He sent millions of people to build this wall, and when they died, they just threw them into the wall and buried them there and built the wall right over top of them. Oh no, said Greek Smith. Why, Baby Gypsy Dave's soul must be conversing with thousands of lost souls. It must be a scary place in there. I'm going in after him, said Baby Pee-wee. Don't try to stop me. Nobody tried to stop him. So Baby Pee-wee took his magic sword, and he knew a technique with thunderbolts, because thunderbolts come from the sky, and they are not very thick sorts of chi. No, they're just loose chi that hangs together, and Baby Pee-wee had been able to solidify him into his magic thunderbolts that he also would work on down in his basement. And so by rubbing one of those thunderbolts, rubbing and rubbing and rubbing, his own chi started to become like the chi of the thunderbolt, that is, only loosely and holding together. And soon Baby Pee-wee could pass his hand right through his arm. His chi had come apart. And he too was like Baby Gypsy Dave. The only difference was he knew what was going on and Gypsy Dave didn't. Baby Pee-wee and also his magic sword, he was able to make like that by using the magic word dissemble. And so he did. And carrying his magic sword in a dissembled state and with himself in a dissembled state, he walked into the wall right where Gypsy Dave had gone. Well, to the people on the outside, it seemed like only an instant before he came back. But what happened inside was that Gypsy Dave's chi was separating and going all into 1,000 pieces. Baby Pee-wee knew that each of those little pieces was like a tiny Gypsy Dave, and that he'd be able to put them back together again if he could gather them all together. But if he was missing one piece, he wouldn't be able to put them together. So he took his magic sword and he turned it into a sort of chi net that was specifically calibrated to get Gypsy Dave's chi back into one place. But what he didn't know was that the ghosts of all those people who built the wall were also trying to get back into one piece. "No," said Baby Pee-wee, "you don't understand. All your ancestors and are dead now. It won't, and your wives and stuff, it won't do any good to get out." But those ghosts didn't know any better. They'd been locked in there so long that they were desperate to get out. Baby Pee-wee had to turn his last remaining thunderbolt into a ghost reflecting mirror. When the ghosts saw themselves, and again, all this is happening in a very thick sort of brick-like environment where people were just passing back and forth through the brick because their chi was dissembled. When they saw themselves in the mirror, poof, they disappeared. 100 of them, 1,000 of them, 1,000,000 of them all saw themselves and poof, 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 poof. They disappeared. "Yow," said Gypsy Dave as he was assembling himself. "That's something." "Well," said Baby Pee-wee, "those ghosts wanted to disappear, but they couldn't. They'd been locked in here brooding on their situation for so long. Come on, we've got to get out of here now." Baby Gypsy Dave had been reassembled. "Wait," said Gypsy Dave, "can I walk? Can we go out the other side of the wall?" "Oh, I suppose so," said Baby Pee-wee. So they went out the other side of the wall. And when they did, Baby Pee-wee was able to turn them back into solid beings by waving that magic, waving that thunderbolt over their heads 3 times. Whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. It caused them to solidify that their chi was no longer in tiny little bits and pieces, but adhering in one body. And when he walked out, Gypsy Dave held his hands over his head like this, like a great champion, like a fighter, clasped his hands, held it over his head, and the people cheered. "Yay, Gypsy Dave, Gypsy Dave," they said. And they passed that hat and everybody put 1 or 2 pennies in. Well, when Gypsy Dave had collected all that money, he was really happy. He was about to get back in the blimp and wave goodbye when all of a sudden a Chinese official came up and he said, "Excuse me, please, you have work permit?" "Work permit," said Gypsy Dave. "Why, no, I just, you performing at Great Wall without work permit? You magician?" "Well, yeah, I guess you'd call me a great illusionist," said Gypsy Dave. "It's no illusion," said the tax man. "That money belongs to the state." And he took the money. "Hey, wait a minute," said Gypsy Dave. "I want a lawyer. I want the American consulate." "No lawyers. American consulate closed. It's Sunday." "Oh, no," said Gypsy Dave. "All that money and for nothing." "Oh, come on," said Baby Pee-wee. "It was a great adventure." "Yeah, I suppose," said Gypsy Dave. "But darn, I was right on the threshold of being really rich. Oh, well, let's get back in the dirigible." So they climbed back up the ladder and picked up their Monopoly game where they left off. Dan was ahead because he had the two blue ones right next to Go, and the two purple ones on the other side of Go, and the two blue ones on the one side, and nobody could get by him without paying him money. Gypsy Dave asked if he could have the $2, but Dan had them pass Go, and Dan said, "No way, it's just a game." Ah, oh, said Gypsy Dave, if you were really my friend, you'd let me have it. Well, the conversation went on like that.
I am really your friend.
Well, then you'll let me have it, right?
No.
Why not?
That's fair.
Well, if you were fair to me, you'd give me the $2. Well, the conversation went on like this, on and on and on. And finally, they came back to Atlanta, and they had ended up right over that great Jiaozi restaurant out on the Buford Highway. So they climbed down and they went in and they had ordered 100 Jiaozi. The four boys split those Jiaozi and they drank some tea, and that is the end of the story.